And welcome back. Food and fitness over the holidays. For many of us, it's too much of one and not enough of the other. You can probably figure out which one is too much and which one is too little. Joining me in studio with some practical advice on better holiday habits are Amy Moore, an assistant professor of nutrition and dietetics at St. Louis University, and Chris Sibelski, assistant professor of physical therapy at SLU. Ladies, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Amy, I'll start with you. It's probably a dumb question, but what do we do wrong over the holidays?
Overindulge, yeah. Without realizing it.
Without realizing it.
I think so. There's just so much food around in the holidays, and it's a sample of this, a drink of that, the chips that are sitting around, the snacks, and just not paying attention to how many calories, extra calories we're eating.
But it's only a couple of days. Come on. We'll eat a little bit too much, and then we'll go on a diet as a New Year's resolution.
Well, it kind of expands almost a whole month nowadays with Christmas parties being early. I know our department one was 2 weeks ago, and there's leftover cookies and there's the leftover food. And depending on how many different gatherings you go to, it can definitely be more than a couple of days.
Do you have any idea of what the average weight gain is for people over the holidays?
The average weight gain is actually only 1 to 2 pounds, which doesn't sound like a lot. However, Americans tend to not lose that 1 to 2 pounds. So if, you know, you have a holiday every year and in 20 years, that helps contribute to adult obesity. It's the danger of not losing that weight if you didn't need to gain it in the first place.
And, of course, Christmas is not the only holiday of the year.
We had the Halloween candy was just on sale just in time for the Thanksgiving. And then usually after Christmas, there's the New Year's, which has extra food as well. So there comes a point when you have to start watching how much holiday food you have.
Valentine's Day and Memorial Day that starts the summer. Then you've got the 4th of July and so on and so forth. And Chris, my guess is that your best advice is for exercise is to push yourself away from the table.
That actually is a really good idea, yeah. And it would actually piggyback very nicely on what Amy said. But in all honesty, it's to be consistent. If you can actually still go to the gym or go for your walk or do your activity throughout the holiday season, no matter what holiday it is, then that actually will help kind of fight up against that 1 to 2 pound weight gain that you may actually be tempted to indulge in.
I'll bet you everyone listening has at one time or another tried to lose weight. So how difficult is it to lose a pound or two?
Well, it's all a matter of the calculation, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not that good at math, but what you take into your body has to be less than what you expel out. So if you keep your same sedentary ways and all you do is diet, then in reality, that's probably not going to be enough to lose weight and lose weight consistently.
You know, the thing, Amy, that you have mentioned that I think is most important is it's what we eat. It's not the volume so much, but we tend to eat stuff that really does pack the calories.
Yes, the holiday foods tend to be higher in calories, and so I like to say really be picky and choosy. There's a lot of food around at the holidays, but you can have crackers and cheese and chips any time of the year. So be choosy, and what is it that someone spent some extra time in preparing just for the holidays? And really look at all the food that's on the buffet and decide what you're going to fill your plate with and walk away with with that plate and really – you know, it's okay to indulge, but realize you're indulging and savor and appreciate the taste of it instead of just, you know, eating it without really paying attention to the flavor.
One of the things that I had read about this is, and we talked to the fire department folks about pre-planning. When you go to a party, you should really have a pretty good idea beforehand, shouldn't you, of what you're going to do, how you're going to act, and how you're going to be fed before you get there?
You should. A lot of people mistakenly tend to try not to eat before they go to the party, knowing that they might consume extra calories. But it's not wise to go to a party really hungry. You should go ahead and have a healthy breakfast and lunch and, again, pay attention to what you ate the rest of the day to kind of save up for those calories that you know there's going to be higher calorie foods there.
What's going on in the body when you overindulge?
Well, your body needs a certain amount of calories a day to maintain itself. And anytime you consume more calories, no matter what food it's from, a protein, a fat, or a carbohydrate, your body is going to store those extra calories as fat, and it leads to weight gain. Mm-hmm. So about 500 extra calories a day can lead to a pound of weight gain in a week.
There are other health considerations aside from obesity, which in and of itself can cause any number of health problems. But am I correct in understanding that people could be more susceptible to heart attacks, for instance, just by eating over a holiday time period?
Sure. As your weight goes up, you can also increase your risk for heart disease, and especially looking at the types of food you eat in the holidays, if they're really rich in the cream sauces and the cheeses and foods that have saturated fat, that's going to not only affect your waistline, but affect your heart as well.
Yeah. Chris, in terms of pre-planning, what about the exercise pre-planning? We know going into this season from Halloween through Thanksgiving through Christmas that we're probably going to overdo it. So I gather and guess that you should start an exercise regimen before this time period starts.
Well, part of that pre-planning, I would say, is actually to be realistic about what's going to happen during this holiday season. And if you're going to extend it all the way back to Halloween, it's talking about planning and understanding that in order to be consistent and be realistic with yourself, you might want to have an exercise plan that you're familiar with and also something that's not new. You know that you like it, and you know how you can fit it into your day.
Give us some sense of some of these exercise plans. I mean, given the way we live today, as busy as we are, as sedentary as we are, what are the good things that just plain folks can do to get some exercise and burn some of those calories?
Well, actually, right now is a great time to get exercise because everyone's out and about. We're shopping. We're walking the malls. We're looking for bargains. So when you're thinking about those types of activities, think about, okay, well, if I park my car at the far end of the parking lot and I'm with a group of people, so it's nice and safe, then when I walk to the mall, I'll have so many extra steps that I've attained through my day. Instead of taking the escalator, take the stairs if you can. Instead of taking the elevator, take the stairs. Make sure that you do walk every end of the mall. Go from one end to the other, not necessarily just to look out for the bargains, but actually to say, I'm going to get my exercise today indoors, and I'm going to do it during the activities that I have planned with my family.
You said earlier that people should be realistic. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I think everyone tries to pack a little bit too much into their day, a little bit too much into the party, a little bit too much into everything. Like you said, we're very busy as a population of whole. So, you know, waking up at 6 a.m. throughout the 2 weeks between Christmas and New Year's and making sure that every morning at 6 I go get up and I go outside and go for a walk, well, that might not be very realistic if the night before you're going to be at a family party or a family gathering, or if you have a very busy schedule throughout that day. So do something active every day. You don't have to do an hour to two-hour workout every day. Be realistic with yourself.
One of the things I hear you saying is do a lot of things that you can do naturally. You don't necessarily have to have fancy equipment or be a member of some gym.
No, I don't believe so. I mean, I think some of the best exercises are actually functional and body weight exercises. There are many things that you can do inside your own home or inside, as we example, the mall, walking, that will help to build the burn the calories. Now, will it burn enough calories to make up for what you indulged in the night before? Is unclear. However, if you're taking Amy's advice to heart and you're kind of watching what you eat and then you're making sure that you're active every day, at the very least, you might not gain as much weight as what you would have gained if you wouldn't have done anything and remained sedentary.
Is there any practical way to figure out how many calories you're burning when you're doing a good walk or whatever?
Typically, if you go for a jog, for an example, typically for every mile that you jog, it's 100 calories burned. That's an overall kind of thought process with regards to jogging. Now, in general, though, you can't necessarily say for sure that works for everybody because everybody's body weight is different. The intensity at which they jog is different. Many people are not going to be able to jog. Maybe they can only intensely walk. Typically, you burn about almost 300 calories with an intense walk over the period of an hour. Now, in reality, what you need to think about is how hard is your heart working, and then for how long does your heart work that hard? And for that, you just need to be able to take your pulse rate and do a simple calculation. Does that translate directly into how many calories you've burned? No, but it does demonstrate that you've actually gotten yourself to a healthy workout rate.
I think there are even apps now that can help you out.
Oh, my gosh.
Help you out in that regard.
Apps, polar rate, heart rate monitors. There's lots of different devices that someone can utilize to make themselves feel good about the activity that they did do. They can use a pedometer just to record the number of steps that they've done in a day. Currently, the recommendation is 10,000 steps every day. And if you're thinking about going to the mall, well, that's a great little gift. A pedometer tells you how far you did walk.
Amy, is it realistic to think that people are going to go through all of this just for the couple of weeks that we're talking about?
To go through all this? Well, we have a saying during the holidays of maintain and not gain. A lot of people try to diet during the holidays, and sometimes that can just actually make them eat more because there's just so much food around and it's not as realistic. But just trying to maintain knowing how many calories your body needs. You can see a registered dietitian or there's online calculations to find out how many calories do you need and how many do you eat. A lot of people aren't aware of that. So it's paying attention to how many calories you're putting into your body and then how many calories you're expending through exercise.
What are some of the things that really sneak up on people? They think that this can't be bad for me. You know, it on the surface, it looks like it might even be good for me.
I think it's the way food is prepared. So if the vegetables are swimming in cheese sauce and cream, they can have a lot more calories than just raw veggies. And paying attention to what you take to the parties, you know, that's one way to really make sure something's healthy there. Brussels sprouts and cranberries are great holiday dishes that are packed with antioxidants, which help prevent diseases. Fresh fruit is a great thing to take for the holidays. Some people, you know, they get so many holiday cookies that sometimes clementines and apples are great gift baskets.
Mm-hmm. I'll pass on the Brussels sprouts if you don't mind, but everything else sounds okay.
There's great ways to prepare them.
Right. Yeah. Well, you'll have to prove it to sell me, believe me. What about alcohol?
And that's another thing that definitely sneaks up. The eggnog can add 200 to 300 calories. You know, it's prepared with the whole milk. You can buy lighter versions. So if you really want the holiday eggnog, you know, it's a holiday. So it's okay to indulge. Just know that you're doing it. You can buy eggnog with the 2% milk to make it a little bit lighter. The alcoholic drinks really add up. The recommendation is to have a drink of water in between each alcoholic drink, both to hydrate you, make you feel better, and it helps cut the calories as well.
Chris Cebulski, people who maybe have overindulged in terms of alcohol might find it difficult to exercise the next day. Is there a way around that?
Don't overindulge. It's a combination of many things why you don't feel well the next day with regards to alcohol intake. And some of it is simply lack of sleep. Some of it is actually lack of restful sleep. You don't sleep as well and get to the actual healing sleep that you need to feel prepared and energetic the next day. Dehydration is a major factor and loss of the electrolytes that are necessary in order for you to feel comfortable exercising. On those days, it is not my recommendation that you become a sedentary person and kind of lay around and wait till yourself feel better. I would go out for a brisk walk. Make sure you bring water with you or anywhere that's safe to walk if it's too cold outdoors. But that energy, that activity might actually bring you more energy in the long run and make you feel less sluggish the following day.
How about the after dinner nap?
I actually do not recommend an after-dinner nap. I'm going to look at my colleague. It is actually a great activity to think about if you're going back to the idea of planning and being mindful about what activities you and your family are going to engage in over the holiday. An after-dinner walk is actually a great way to not only carry on the conversation from the dinner table, but also to help kind of keep that energy up and not kind of get into the sluggish mentality that many of us have after overindulging in a meal.
In the time we have left, I'm going to ask if any members of our listening audience want to get into this conversation. Do so at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org or send us a tweet at STL on air. Chris, I'll just come back to you because we talk about this walking. All of us walk, most of us walk, but you talk about a brisk walk. What's the best pace for walking to do the most good?
To be able to carry on a conversation with very few necessary breaks in your sentence.
And if you walk alone?
And if you walk alone, sing to yourself. a lot of times the recommendation actually is to make sure that you're working at a certain rate of perceived exertion. And that rate of perceived exertion is actually to feel like you could carry on a conversation if you needed to. You may have to take one or two breaths during a full sentence, but you're not pausing after each word to take a breath.
By the way, you're talking about taking those 10,000 steps. That's a five-mile walk.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a long
throughout
walk.
A whole day. Mm-hmm. And that is the current recommendation of the government.
You don't have to do it in one fell swoop. You
can at all. Yeah. No. It's a kind of the accumulation, the accumulation over in a full day.
Yeah. Okay. Now back to some of the food issues here. I have acquired from the, thank God for the internet, thank God for Google, some strategies that, Amy, I'll send your way, and Chris, chime in whenever you have something to say. Strategies. Keep the serving dishes in the kitchen.
Keep the serving dishes in the kitchen, meaning use a smaller plate is one of the recommendations. However, if sometimes they say, or there has been research that shows if you use a smaller plate, you tend to eat less. However, if you're the person that will go back and fill that plate up again, it is individualized. So I think it's, again, being picky and choosy and really paying attention to what you put on your plate.
Chris, how many times do you have to go back and forth to the kitchen to get your 10,000 steps?
I was actually just thinking that. I was like, actually using a small plate is a good idea if you are going to get up, because at least you're walking in between those small serving plates. Walking into the kitchen, maybe a little bit further than simply sitting at the dinner table. Any opportunity to get up and engage in activity during what could otherwise be a very sedentary evening, to me, is a great idea. So small plates, I would give thumbs up.
Well, I've even heard, Amy, that using small utensils is a good idea. Small forks, small spoons.
Sure. A lot of it's habit, kind of like the salt shaker. You just shake it a certain amount of times. If you're just getting one spoonful, then instead of if it's a smaller spoon and you don't want to put four servings on, that could definitely help.
We're really fooling ourselves, aren't we? I mean, it's kind of a self-deception.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which is, as long as you're deceiving yourself, that's not a crime, right? stick to foods that require utensils.
Stick to foods that Well, it does require the extra, hand to mouth when you're eating finger foods. And usually those finger foods are higher calorie foods if you think about it. So trying to use utensils and putting the fork down between bites. Again, really savoring the food and paying attention to when your body's full instead of just eating until everything on the plate's gone, no matter if it's a small plate or a big plate. Pay attention to when you do feel full.
Why are we so much more plugged into eating those foods that are not necessarily good for us? I mean, high in fat content. I mean, they're always so tasty.
Well, fat does make food taste good. That's one of the functions of it. And being aware of what are high fat foods. And you can never go wrong with fresh fruits and vegetables. They're low in calories. They have water in them, higher water content. And they just do so many healthy things for your body to help prevent diseases. So always reaching for the fresh fruits and vegetables, possibly first, before those appetizers that aren't fruits and vegetables.
And Chris, are they going to give us more energy to be able to exercise more vigorously?
Absolutely. Fruits and vegetables absolutely give you the necessary vitamins to exercise. Additionally, many times, especially if you're thinking fresh fruit and vegetables that may be raw, they actually require a greater number of chews. So you might actually be able to say, hey, I'm getting a little bit of an extra calorie burn, a little more exercise, because I'm actually working my jaw muscles a little harder by eating the fresh fruits and vegetables.
I think there's an app out there for how many calories you burn when you're chewing.
I'm sure there is.
If there's not, there's probably someone out there right now who could be working on it. Okay, avoiding the finger foods. This is one that's interesting. Talk more and you'll eat less.
I say conversation is calorie-free, and the holidays, it is about food, but as much as about faith and fellowship. So really, if you have family and friends around, make that the focus. So enjoy the food and then step away from the table. We all know if we stay in the table with the stay in the room where the food is. We tend to kind of keep picking at things. So walk away, find someone to talk to, and fill up on the fellowship.
So this is all, a very social thing. Here we are, talk more and eat less at the table. And Chris, when you're out walking with someone, you're having a conversation. So
Absolutely.
You're talking more and exercising more at the same time. All right. This last one I have on my list, and perhaps you have more. Browse before loading up at the table.
And it goes back to being choosy and being picky, paying attention to what you're putting on your plate. And if something, doesn't taste good, take a bite, and you don't have to eat everything that's on your plate. If you grew up as the clean your plate club, it's okay to leave things on your plate and to pay attention to when you're full and really be picky and choosy. The holidays offer so many foods. If you can find those natural red and greens and yellows, you can almost forget your multivitamin. Use food as your medicine and stock up on the colorful, naturally colorful, not the Cheetos.
We've been talking pretty much about the guests at these parties and what they should and shouldn't do. What about the host and hostess?
The host and hostess, if they're preparing food in the kitchen all day, you have to be mindful of how many tastes you take as you're cooking. It is wise to sample your food before you offer it to other people, but you want to pay attention to how much you're tasting throughout the day, because again, every mouthful has calories in it, unless it's conversation. Mm-hmm. So paying attention to what you're putting in your mouth.
Time is beginning to get away from us. Chris, I'll come back to you with regard to self-discipline. Do you have any advice that you can give? I mean, we're asking people to do things that perhaps they don't normally do. Mm-hmm. How do you get yourself into that groove?
Remember that everything counts. Start small and slowly build up. Don't expect to walk out the door tomorrow and walk for an hour or run a marathon. If you're going to start exercising today because you're aware that the holidays are coming, you know you might overindulge, then go for a 5-minute walk. Tomorrow, maybe if they're feeling great and the weather still is good, go for a 7-minute walk. Build very slowly. Don't expect yourself to be able to go out and do what you envision and imagine that you're able to do. That will come. It's a goal.
Yeah. Going out and taking that walk is problematical in weather like we're having today, and more
True.
Specifically like we're going to get tomorrow when it's going to be, wind chill below zero probably.
Lovely.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
So what do I do?
Don't hibernate in your house. Make sure that you are active. So instead of watching TV for 3 hours at a time, maybe at every half hour interval or when there is a commercial break, get up and walk around your house. There's plenty of exercises that you can do from your chair. Sit to stand, large steps down the hallway, walking up and down your stairs in your home. Any activity that you can engage in, if it has to be indoors, then there's always the mall.
I was just going to say, as you indicated earlier, go to the mall. There are long, long corridors there that work very well.
Yes.
Final thought from you, Amy, with regard to your best advice in the 30 seconds we have left.
I like to say maintain, not gain. Enjoy food. Just pay attention to what you're putting in your body and think about what it's doing for your body. Food is for energy and for health.
Yeah, we're not saying here to anyone that you shouldn't eat anything over the holiday
Absolutely
season.
Not.
Just be a little more careful. And by all means, stay away from those Brussels sprouts. That's my recommendation.
No, that's not my message.
Not your message, but it is my message to myself. Amy Moore, thank you so much for being with us. Great to have you here.
Thank
Chris Obelsky, thank you for being with us as well. Both of these ladies from St. Louis University, we appreciate your time here and the good advice that you've given our audience. Thanks
Great.
So much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, as our holiday approaches, we'll observe Christmas Eve with poetry, stories, and music. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.